Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, our text this morning is the lesson read earlier from Prophecy of Micah, including these memorable words which are inscribed on the wall of the United Nations building. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The legendary golfer Ben Hogan is reported to have said, "Golf cannot be taught, only learned." Somebody who was evidently not learning very well reversed those words to say, "Golf can be taught, but it cannot be learned." That second one is also true of our human nature and the ways of the Lord. God teaches us his ways, but our flesh cannot learn them. This is seen especially when God teaches peace, and we keep on learning war. In the Old Testament days, there was a call to war recorded in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, which said, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears." In our text today, our Lord has reversed those words, not to teach us what to do, but to show us what he has done. In the days of our Lord, in the life of our Savior, in the Messianic age, the fall is reversed. Sin is reversed. War is reversed. And swords are reversed into plowshares. This first day of the quarter and this first Monday of Advent, we hear not just what the word of the Lord teaches into our heads, but what God's mouth speaks into existence. And so our theme today is God's mouth speaks away fear and war so that we do walk in the name of the Lord forever. God spoke through Micah's mouth at a time when there was great material wealth but spiritual poverty. During his watch, the north fell, and Judah barely existed as a nation. Micah's words alternate between good news and bad news, and this section is good news. Sort of. I mean, it seems like good news that all the nations would say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his paths," or "teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." But do you see a problem here? There's a big difference between saying, "Let us do something," and actually doing that thing. That's why homiletics profs urge you not to serve up a big bunch of lettuce at the end of your sermon. Micah also spoke the good news that the mountain of the house of the Lord would be the highest mountain and that people would flow to it. Do you see another problem here? Things don't normally flow uphill. Things don't flow to the highest mountain. People don't so readily flow to the house of the Lord. The people of Micah's day were not getting more and more faithful. Well, then Micah spoke those words that the nations would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and they would not learn war anymore. But Micah's time was not a time of great peace. That's why these words are usually called hyperbolic idealization. That's one of those words that we teach you and then tell you never to use it in the parish. But it's more than because it's big 50-cent words. It's sort of wishful thinking. And wishful thinking is not what Micah was talking about, and it's not what we have to speak about and proclaim either. There is a reality to Micah's words, and what the people could not achieve, God would achieve. God's mouth speaks away fear and war, so that we do walk in the name of the Lord forever. Well, there has to be more than a hyperbolic, for those of you who haven't had hum anything yet, from hyperbole, an exaggerated state. There's more than an exaggerated sense of what an ideal world would look like. Sure, there will be times when you have to tell your people that things will be perfect in heaven, but they're going to have to do a lot of living in a less than hyperbolically ideal world. How can we flow uphill? How can we walk in the name of the Lord? It's not our power and our nature to do either of those things. Instead, God invites us to come and we go. God teaches peace and we still learn war. God makes a path for us and we strike out on our own. God sends out his law and it judges us guilty. If we beat our swords into plowshares, our human nature is going to ask, how am I going to kill my enemy with this thing? I mean, I can imagine the headline where I come from. North Dakota man was murdered in a dispute between neighbors. The murder weapon appears to be a plowshare found nearby. No, we have beaten our swords into smart bombs and our spears into improvised explosive devices. And we can write these words on the halls of the United Nations headquarters, but we cannot do them. In 1959, the Soviet Union gave a sculpture to the United Nations of a man with a hammer beating a sword into a plowshare. But those of us who were around in 1959 might remember that that was the first successful test of the Titan intercontinental ballistic missile in response to the Soviet Union's 1957 test of a similar weapon. In those days and ever since, we have been learning war better than any of the warriors before us. Micah's words were not hyperbolic idealization, but prophecies of what God would do in the coming of the Savior. Micah has become famous for telling us the precise place of the Savior's birth, and thus ensuring himself a place in Advent services and children's pageants forever. But these words from chapter 4 also tell us something very precise about God's power at work in the Messianic age. God's mouth does speak away sin and fear and war so that we do walk in the name of the Lord forever. It's eschatological Zion that will be lifted above all the mountains. Another word you won't be able to use too much. God will establish the mountain of his house as the highest of the mountains. But before that, it's ecclesiastical Zion. God will send the law out of Zion, his word out of Jerusalem. The church will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all nations. This is what Jesus said before he ascended to heaven, so that we know that the latter days of Micah are now. He said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. God's mouth speaks away sins by declaring them forgiven, washed away in the blood of Jesus. And that's exactly what God has done for us. God has spoken away our sins, our fear, our war with him. God has put down his sword, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What about that water flowing uphill people moving unnaturally uphill to the temple of the Lord, people moving to Mount Zion, the church, the body of Christ. I can promise you that you won't always see that. Some days you'll even have a hard time believing it. But Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." God's grace can be taught, and it can be learned, but only after it is declared with power from the mouth of the Lord. God's mouth speaks away sin and fear and war, so that we do walk in the name of the Lord forever. Several people have tried to teach me the game of golf. But for all the success they've had, I could just as well beat my golf clubs into plowshares. Now, I have no doubt that God could speak the word, and I could play in the name of great golfers like Ben Hogan or Jack Nicklaus. God has not chosen to do that. He has, however, spoken away my sins in the name of Jesus. He has put me on the path of life with you to walk in the name of Jesus this day and forever. So this first Monday of Advent, and until the final advent of our Lord, God enables us to lift our plowshares high and live in peace. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.